Girl, look.
Don't use God. Don't use God for your own personal life. Because he sees it. And the more you're pursuing after this answer, the more you're burning yourself out. You're burning your energy out. The farther and farther away.
We're not pursuing the old us, okay? We're going after the things that God has for us. I don't know what y'all going after. That's none of my business. That's none of my business. But we're going after. But we're going after the things that God has for us.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Drea K, back. Y'all ain't never tell me if this was demonic or not. Like, is this demonic? Let me know. What does this mean? What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Living in Pursuit podcast. I am your host, Drea. Big Drea, not the little one. Don't play with her. Okay. I am back with another episode. The Builded episode. Yeah, y'all loving that. Okay. Y'all are loving that. I'm seeing your comments. I'm seeing your, you know, your analytics and things of that nature. So yeah, y'all liking that podcast episode. So shout out to God. Amen. Shout out to the Lord. We are back today. If this is your first time joining us here on the Living in Pursuit podcast, first of all, my name is Drea. Okay. I am a creative entrepreneur, all of the things. All right. If this is your first time tuning into YouTube, hi, my name is Drea. I give prophetic words sometimes. I talk about what thus said the Lord wants me to talk about. And, you know, we're just here. We're here. Amen. So today, y'all, I intended to talk about something else. When I woke up this morning, God was giving me this revelation about something else, right? And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just talk about that on the podcast. But here he come. As soon as I sat down to read my scriptures, read my word, here he come. Another download. I'm like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing here. So this word is going to be a prophetic word. Okay, because that's just how he's setting this up on today. This is going to be a prophetic word. It's also going to be encouragement to you all. As you can tell by the title, this is your season of miracles. Hello, or I should say our season of miracles. The way God gave this to me and the way that he has been giving it to me along the last couple of days. Yeah, mind blowing, right? So if you are new here, you know, we love the Lord. Like, we're cool. You know, we're creative. We do music. You know, we do entertainment and things like that. But we love the Lord. Okay. We love him and he loves us. So we do have some scriptures. And this one, we got some scriptures on today and we're going to be reading those scriptures. I have my handy dandy Bible right there. I'm going to get it in a few, but yeah. Let's get into the word. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. Make sure you leave a rating, a review, all of the things. Okay. Let's get that out of the way. All right. Boom. So, Jesus help me. Your season of miracles. I have been seeing that word and hearing that word miracle for the past couple of weeks. And it wasn't until today that I decided to look up the definition of the word miracle. Now, the definition of the word miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws. Okay. And is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. Right? So, that word miracle, it's been just in my spirit. It's been in my my Bible study time. But specifically today, I was in Joshua 3 and 4. Literally, I just opened up my Bible and my pen was at that verse, but I decided to go and look at the context of where I left off at. And I literally found something that went along with this word miracle. It went along with me just having this idea. Okay, God, you're talking about miracles. All right. What type of miracles did God perform in the Bible? Now, we know Jesus came and he performed miracles and everything like that. Jesus is God's son. We all know that, right? But in my mind, I'm like, okay, you have been having me in the Old Testament, right? And Joshua 3 and 4, Moses, Abraham, all of that is basically at the beginning of the Bible. That's in the Old Testament. So it got me wondering, what were some God miracles? Like, what did God himself do, right? So he led me back to Joshua. And Joshua chapter 3 and 4, this is literally the story of Joshua taking over Moses' position. When Moses died, you know, Moses was the original leader that God had chose to free the Israelites. So Moses dies, but he appoints Joshua to take over and lead the newer generation of Israelites into the promised land. Now, God did this twice. Okay, God did this twice, and we're going to get into that. But the first time the Israelites were led into the promised land was when Moses led them there after he freed them from slavery, right? So Moses dies. A new generation was born. A new generation of Israelites were born. Joshua now has to lead those Israelites into the promised land as well. This has happened twice. So I don't know. That screams miracle right there to me. That's a whole nother miracle. And okay, we're going to get into it, right? So in the context of chapter 3, it says the miracle that the Israelites had experienced during this time was God parting the Jordan River so that the Israelites could cross over into the promised land. We have the Israelites. We have the promised land. You have you. And you have a promise, something that God said, something that God told you would happen. Like, Israelites, promised land, you, your promise, right? The Jordan River is literally standing in between the Israelites, literally standing in between their promised land. So what does God do? He has to perform a miracle. I'm preaching already. Like this video, because I feel like, that could preach. Y'all, if you do not have a life application Bible, let me show y'all my Bible. Look, if y'all don't have a life application Bible, the context, like not only the verses, but the contexts will mess you up. It wasn't the verse that messed me up. It was the context. Jesus, I'm sitting there looking like, good Lord, speaking in tongues. So it says the miracle was parting the Jordan River. The Jordan River was literally standing in the way of the Israelites receiving what God had promised them. There is something, my God, let's get into it. There is something standing in the way of you receiving your promise that only God himself can get you through to. Like, whatever is standing in the way, God himself has to come in. God himself has to perform a miracle. Literally, you are looking at your situation. You are wondering, okay, God, you promised me this thing. I'm not seeing the fruit of that thing. I feel like I've been having so much warfare. I feel like I've been experiencing delays and this and this and that. Like, literally, God himself has to perform a miracle in order for you to even see what he promised you. It's not going to come by your own strength. It's not going to come by your connections. It's not going to come by just your prayers alone. Like, God himself, his power, his strength, his magnificentness. That's not a word, but God's power has to be the thing that breaks you into what he's calling you to do. that breaks you into the thing, right? So that part messed me up. But this is the part that got me too. We're still in Joshua 3. It says, it had been many years since Israel had witnessed God's miracle. All right, that sounds simple to y'all, but that messed me up too. It's the word Israel. Israel is a whole nation. It's a whole city. It's a whole nation. It had been years since God had performed a miracle for the whole nation. Israelites are people living in the nation. But this says it has been many years since Israel had witnessed God's miracle, which means when God performs this miracle in your life, everyone's going to be talking about it. Your family, your friends, people on social media, like everybody around you is going to see and know this ain't nothing but God. Only God himself could have done this. Because the situation that you are in, it looks like all odds are just, it looks like it's over for you. It looks like it's dead for you. It looks like if God don't step in, it ain't going to get done. If God don't come through, it's not going to get done. Like some of us are literally in situations where we need God's power to revive the thing. My God. So this miracle is going to be a representation of God's power, but it's going to be so powerful that people around you are going to know God. They're going to know, like, okay, she couldn't have done that herself. He could not have done this himself. They are not as strong as God. They are not as powerful as God. Something divine. What we just read. What's the definition of a miracle? A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. People are going to look at your situation like, how did you get over that? How did that even happen? How did you go from here to there? How did you go from a nobody to a somebody? How did your situation literally change overnight? I don't know who this is for. How did that court situation get overturned? How did they come to that decision to bless you? How did this even happen? God. That's why everything that you've been trying to do in your own strength is not working. That's why your ideas, your ideas and your whatever, everything that you're trying to do, that's why it's not working. You and your business ideas, that's why it's not working. You are not going to get the credit for this. This blessing, this miracle, whatever God has to move out of your way, whatever God has to kill, whatever God has to flex his muscles with or flex his muscles on, that ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. That's only gonna be God. He's going to get the glory for that. Jesus. So that messed me up. The word Israel messed me up. I said, oh, the whole town is gonna be talking about this. Oh, it's a whole nation that is going to be affected by my miracle. The miracle you're going to do for me. Bet God. So going back to it happening twice for the Israelites, I find it so funny that God performed the exact same miracle for a different generation. It was the same miracle. When Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt into their promised land, the Red Sea was in their way. God had to part the Red Sea in order for them to walk over. This second time, this second miracle that God had to do, he had to part the Jordan Sea. I don't know what it is about these seas and this water, or the Jordan River, I should say. I don't know what it is about this water, these seas, these bodies of water. I do not know. I need to study that. We need to study that. What is the significance of this water, right? But he has to perform the miracle twice, I believe, so that the Israelites can remember what God did. So the Israelites can remember how powerful God is. So the Israelites can remember that they need God. Like, when you're coming out of slavery, when you are coming out of bondage, when you are coming out of a toxic relationship, it can only be God that gets you out of that thing. It can only be God speaking to you, showing you things, like encountering you to get you out of that situation. I can tell, like, if you ask me, there are a lot of people that have had God encounters already and just have not acknowledged that that was a God encounter. Like, if I think about the things that I've endured in my life, like, now I can give God the glory. Like, that was nothing but God. But for some people, even people who are unbelievers, you know, we've been talking about the great encounter. We've been talking about God encountering people who are unbelievers, and they are now going to become believers. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But even when I'm thinking about the great encounter and how God is going to encounter these people, I'm realizing this may be their first miracle. This may be the thing that they need to know who God is. This may be the thing. This may be the moment. This may be the encounter of a lifetime that would literally show them and prove to them that God is actually real. Like, you have atheists out here who are literally like hell bent. Y'all know I like that word. Hell bent on not believing in God, not believing in Jesus, like really not believing in God. But this encounter that is going to happen and going to take place, oh, this miracle that is going to take place, oh. Okay. They gonna know who the Lord is. They gonna know who Jesus is, all right? So look, this miracle, I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this podcast episode is for. It's for me. But if it's for you as well, I feel it in my bones, y'all. I feel this thing in my spirit. God literally has us in a position where our backs are against the wall, where everything that we are doing, he's causing it not to work so that he can be the one to do it. I did a prophetic word last year. It's on my YouTube channel somewhere. It's called Stand Back and Let the Master Work. This, we are in a season, we are in a time, or we are, some of us are in situations where God is allowing us to rest so that he can step in. He's literally telling us, okay, that's enough. You've suffered enough. You've prayed for that person enough. You've fasted enough. You've been obedient. Now let me work. Now let me perform the miracle. Now let me, I even see I'm getting a vision right now of a surgeon coming in to do his work. A surgeon coming in to do the work. You know how the nurses have to sedate the patient. They have to prep the patient. They have to get the patient ready. But when the surgeon comes in, they got to step back. Jesus. They got to step back and let the surgeon do what he needs to do. Some of us are literally in that type of situation right now. God is preparing you for a miracle. Some of you all, God has called you off your job. You don't know what to do. You just at home chilling. Like, some of y'all having anxiety, worried, but God is literally, he's preparing you for the miracle, because this thing is going to be so big. It's going to be so miraculous that people are going to talk about it for years and years to come. They are going to remember, like the Israelites, they are going to remember what God did. Jesus. So God performed that miracle twice so that people from generation to generation can know and remember what God did and how powerful he is, right? So even when you go to Joshua chapter 4, once God performs the miracle, they literally enter in a state of rest. God performed the miracle, parted the Jordan River so that they can cross over. But when he parted the river and they crossed over, they went to this town, Gilgal. We've been talking about this, right? So Joshua chapter 4, they are literally in a period where they are remembering all that God had done. They are remembering this miracle that had just took place. They are remembering everything that they had to go through in order to get to this point. Some of you all are literally in a position where God has been just having you in this state of self-reflection. Everything that you've endured, everything that you went through, everything that you suffered for. You've just been having these memories. You've been going back, looking at old videos. You have been going back, looking at those prophetic words that got you through, my God, that got you through this time of suffering. He's literally putting it back on my mind to go back and listen to some prophetic words about kingdom marriage, about entrepreneurship, like literally. I've been in a time of self-reflection and he's been having me go back and watch those videos that got me through. Just to remind me. Yeah, I'm still going to do it for you. I'm still planning on performing this miracle. Like, I'm still in the room with you. If you read your word, you already know. What in the room? What? I can't even get into it. Y'all need to read y'all Bible. Y'all need to read y'all word. So God has been speaking to us a lot about like the things to come, right? He's been prepping us. He's been preparing us for the miracle, right? But he's also been giving us like pieces to the puzzle. He's been giving us pieces of the vision. Some of us have been trying to implement and execute those pieces of the vision. When whole time, God is just preparing us for the next. He's preparing us for the next. He's preparing us to not only witness the miracle, but he's given us strategy for what to do once the miracle has been performed. This is what you should do. This is what you're going to do when you cross over, when you get to your promised land. These are the instructions. These are the type of instructions that God is giving you right now. This is not stuff that you need to be executing right away. This is just a piece to the puzzle. This is a piece to the vision. Okay? So for some of you, and we're going to get into marriage because I already know like that's what y'all clicked on. That's the part y'all looking for. That's the part y'all done probably skipped to. But for some of you, this miracle involves your spouse. It involves your spouse coming back into your life. Some of you all have been in a state of separation, right? And you have been in this fog of confusion and in this fog of doubt and uncertainty. But for some of you all, this miracle has to be performed in your spouse. Meaning, their encounter with God is literally going to be the domino effect to your breakthrough. Jesus! I feel like running. I feel like taking off. I feel like taking off. Like, some of y'all's, for some of you, your spouse is connected to your breakthrough, but they have to have an encounter with God first. That's what you've been waiting on. For some of y'all, that's what you've been waiting on. Literally, once they have this encounter with God, it's going to spark a domino effect, a sequence of events, and all at once, a head spinning blessing. If y'all have been around, I have another prophetic message called All at Once. Y'all need to go back and watch that on YouTube or go back and listen to it on a podcast. But in that word, it literally says, when they have this encounter, you're going to get engaged, get married, get the house, do this, have a baby, this. Like, whatever God has been showing you is going to happen after you get married, like, it's going to be a domino effect. But in order for that domino effect to take effect in your life, in order for you to see your breakthrough, this encounter, this miracle has to happen. It has to happen. That's why ain't nothing working. That's why you're not seeing breakthrough, because it hasn't happened yet. Jesus. Oh, Lord. I did another prophet. We're in the prophetic. Amen. We're here. I did another prophetic word November 26, 2021. So this probably was season 3 or season 2 of the podcast. I don't know. But it's called The Big Announcement. For some of you all, once you get married, like we are connecting with destiny helpers. Like, your spouse is your destiny helper. I can't contain myself today. Y'all gonna have to excuse me. Your spouse is your destiny helper. So when you get connected to them, when you are reconnected to them, when you get married to them, you get an inheritance of what they got. My God. God been showing me inheritance. He's been showing me the word inheritance. And if you read Ruth chapter 4, oh Lord, if you read Ruth chapter 4, it talks about Boaz having an inheritance. Once he got married to Ruth, she was now a part of his inheritance. Ruth was Boaz's inheritance. Boaz was Ruth's inheritance. Jesus. Okay. I can't contain myself. So, your big announcement. Some of you all have gifts. Some of you all want to do podcasts. Some of you all want to do music. Some of you all have these gifts, right? And once you get reconnected to your spouse, once you all get married and obtain the favor of God, all of the things that they have, they're going to be able to give to you so that you can now break through the industry. So you can now do the things that you always pray to do. All of the things that you want to do, the music career, the stay at home, being a mom career, like, that's a career. You want to stay at home. That's cool. I understand. Look, no judgment here. But once you get married, that is going to break through. That is your breakthrough. Once you get married, you're going to be able to do all of those things because everything that you want to do is connected to this person. Like, your visions align. Your dream, like, you guys have the same dream. You guys have the same vision. So when God puts you two together, he's going to add his favor on it. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay. So when you all get married, Jesus, all of the things that your spouse wants to do is now going to be easier for them to do it because he married you. Can't contain myself today. It is just, my God. Ooh, don't get emotional, girl. Calm down. You got makeup on, like, chill. Ooh, chill. Everything you've been waiting for is connected to this union. That's why it's not working on your own. You were not meant to birth that thing on your own. You were not meant to be a single mother. I don't know who that was for. You're trying to do all of these things. You're operating in your masculine energy. You're trying to make all of these things happen by yourself. But you were not meant to do this by yourself. Jesus, God keeps reminding me of the story in Luke where Jesus sends out the disciples two by two. Two by two. Some of you all cannot enter into ministry until you get married. Because you're supposed to do this with your husband. You're supposed to do this with your wife. Y'all are supposed to do this together. You're not supposed to be alone in this thing. You're like this, Jesus, this mantle is too big for you to carry on your own. This assignment is too big for you to carry on your own. You need your helper. You need your helpmate. Jesus, that wasn't even in my notes. Good Lord. Ooh, some of you all have dreams of being on stage. You have dreams of owning successful businesses. You have dreams of speaking. You have dreams of, you know, you have aspirations, I should say, of being on other people's podcasts and spreading the news and the good news, spreading the gospel and sharing your story and your testimony and everything like that. That's a part of your big announcement. When you enter into these rooms, and I did another prophetic word called entering into the room in 2022. Ugh. The Lord is flowing here, as you can see. I can't contain it. I can't stop it. That wasn't even in my notes. But literally in that prophetic word, the big announcement, when people announce you, when you break through, when you receive your breakthrough, even when you get married, people are going to be announcing you. You're going to hear the announcement. All right, everybody, give it up for Mr. and Mrs. When you enter into your reception, give it up for Mr. and your wedding reception. Give it up for Mr. and Mrs. When they introduce you on stage, give it up to. When you're walking out onto those platforms, you have an announcement. But your announcement requires a new name, a new location, a new life. Some of you all, your last name has to change in order for you to even be in those rooms. You have to have a wedding ring on your finger in order to enter into those rooms, in order to enter into those conversations. Jesus Christ. Give it up for Mrs. Yeah. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. You've been watching prophetic words. You've been on this journey. You have been toiling. You have been going to God with this thing. Believe it. Jesus, even if it takes every ounce of you, even if it takes every fiber of your being, believe it. I told y'all I went wedding ring shopping twice. Three times, actually. I went looking for my engagement ring three times. Recently, in September, I went by myself in September. God kept showing me a name, a specific name. I went to the mall to get me some food. I end up seeing a jewelry store with that name on it. I walked into the jewelry store and I literally started trying on rings because I had a dream of what my wedding ring was going to look like. So I literally went into that jewelry store and I started trying on rings. Oh, this is the one I saw in my dream. I'm about to get prepared for this. See, the first time I went ring shopping, I just had an idea of what I wanted. But once I had that dream a year later, I was like, oh, this is what God want me to have. I've been dreaming too small. I've been thinking too small. This is what God want me to have. So now I'm going to start having that. Now I'm going to start desiring this ring. Now I'm going to start desiring that. Bet, God. So believe it. Believe it. Believe it. That's your word for today. Believe it. Yeah. So, oh Lord. I know some of y'all are crying. I know some of y'all are crying. I know that. Put it in the comments. Like, I need y'all to put this in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, I need you to like, I need you to send this video to somebody. I need you to save this video to your confirmation playlist. Because when it happens, you'll be able to refer back to this video and said, the Lord spoke through this girl. She got short hair. She, you know, she got this little pink and green sweater on. Uh-huh. Yeah. Whew, Lord. So, going back to Joshua 3 and 4. In that context as well, it had another part that just put me in a chokehold. It said, God chose the time when the river was at its highest to demonstrate his power. God waited until that river had gotten so high. Oh, Jesus, God waited until your situation looked so dead. God waited until your situation got so bad to demonstrate his power. God waited until the highest point of that river to get to demonstrate his power. Pay attention to the word highest. Highest. So I have my phone here. July 4th, 2023. God gave me a word when I was studying. I was in my prayer time and I was studying. He gave me the word public announcement. Now, he gave me the big announcement in 2021, but last year he gave me public announcement. Okay. So I recorded a memo on my phone as God was speaking to me about it. And he was talking to me about a proposal, an engagement, right? So for some of you all, your engagement is going to be public. It's going to be in front of people. Okay, anyway. But in that word, in this voice memo, he gave me the word culminate. C-U-L-M-I-N-A-T-E. Culminate. The definition of culminate is to reach a climax or point of highest development. God chose the time when the river was at its highest to demonstrate his power. The definition of culminate is reach a climax or point of highest development. Some of you all needed to be separated from your spouses because he had to develop you. He had to develop them. You had to become a wife. You had to become a husband. You had to become the person that Jesus, you had to become the person that would handle the miracle, the person that would handle the blessing, the person who would handle the breakthrough, what God is breaking you into. He had to develop you, your character, in order to be able to handle what comes with all of these this favor and these blessings. Like, you're trying to break into the industry. You had to become the type of person that would be able to sustain all of the blessings and favor in that industry. You needed to know who you were, and you needed to know who you were not. Because before God sends you into that promised land, before God sends you into that marriage, you had to become something. You had to become pure. You had to become righteous. You had to become something that you've never became before. Like, you had to become new. You had to become transformed. You had to become renewed. You had to learn how to forgive. You had to learn how to deal with your abandonment and your rejection issues. You had to deal with that unforgiveness in your heart. You had to learn how to deal with your enemies. You had to learn how to pray for your enemies. You had to learn how to love people, even when they didn't love you, even when they showed you that they don't love you. You had to be able to learn how to handle what is in the promised land, what is in the industry, what will come in this marriage. You had to develop. Some of you all needed to learn how to put God first. Some of you all needed that time to break down your idolatry. Some of you all needed to learn how to control your emotions. Some of you all needed to learn how to become a virtuous woman, learn how to be faithful. Because for some of y'all, y'all been cheating all of your relationships. Okay? Like, God is waiting till you get to your highest stage of development. You and them. Your highest level of development before he brings this miracle to life. So that's the word culminate. Let's look at the word testimony. So the word testimony, and hello, we're all going to be able to testify. Okay. When this miracle comes to life, when your spouse has this encounter, when your prodigal has this encounter, when this thing happens, you're going to testify. You're going to have a testimony. When you pass this test, you are going to have a testimony. They are going to have a testimony. You all, both of you, are going to have a testimony. The word testimony says, or it says, evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. Like, your miracle is going to manifest in your life. You're going to have physical proof of your miracle. You're going to have physical proof of your marriage. You're going to have physical proof that God did what he said he was going to do. Another definition of testimony is a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. If you've been around this podcast, I put out another episode and we just kind of flowed into the prophetic. I forgot which episode that was. Somebody put it in the comments, but it literally said, in that moment, God said, you are about to become living proof of what I said. Your life is going to become living proof. You're going to be a living testimony. Ain't nobody going to be able to read this. They're going to see it. They're going to read it generations to come. They're going to read your story, but they're going to be able to see it. Your life is about to become a living testament. It's about to become living proof that God said what he said and he did not lie. That God is powerful. Okay? So the word conversion means the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to another. This is your spouse. I know that you all are separated. I know that they've done some things. They've said some things to you. I know that they have hurt you. But when they come back to you, they're going to be a new version of themselves. Like, you've had their existing version of who they are in your mind. You've been dealing with the remnants and the residue of who they were, who they used to be. They have been dealing with the remnants and the residue of what they used to do and who they used to be. That's who you've been dealing with up until this point. But in this time of separation, in this time of highest development, God is literally converting them. They're literally having a Saul to Paul moment. They are literally having an encounter with God. They've been into this. They've been doing that. You all have been unequally yoked up until this point. You're not even married yet. How are you going to become equally yoked until you get married? Let's just start there. So they are going through their conversion season. That's why you ain't around. God needs his voice to be the loudest voice in their lives right now. God needs to get their attention, not through you. He already used you in that season, in a previous season. He used you in a previous season, but in this one, in this time right now, it's just them and God. God politely moved you up out of the way. He was like, okay, my turn. All right. Thank you. You've done enough. You've done what I asked you to do, daughter. Now, let me stand back and let me do the work. Because I got to deal with them in a particular way that I don't need you around. Okay? I just need you, Jesus. I just need you prepared. The time that you are in, this time of separation that you are in, I'm converting them while I'm preparing you to witness who they are about to be. I need you to witness that. I'm preparing you for the miracle. Like, that's why y'all not around each other right now. That's why y'all not seeing each other right now. Like, that's why the communication is cut off. God is working on the inside of them, and he's working on the inside of you, because you still have some forgiveness to do. And when they come back, your heart has to be changed. We're going to get into that. So another definition of conversion is the fact of changing one's religion or beliefs, or the actions of persuading someone else to change theirs. For some of you all, your spouse, the man that God has showed you, the woman that God has showed you, if you're a woman, if you're a man watching or listening to this, some of them are into New Age. Some of them are into the things of the world, which has caused the warfare to be so daunting. Like, you've literally been fighting they demons. You've been fighting stuff that you have never been acquainted with. You've been fighting stuff that you ain't never fought before. But this conversion period, literally, like, he's converting them. He's changing their minds. He's changing their hearts to serve him and only him. That's why you ain't around. Okay? So, also want to point out, in Ruth chapter 4, again, we talked about the inheritance in Ruth chapter 4. But in this one, Ruth chapter 4 also displays Boaz making a public announcement for Ruth to be his wife. He literally had to go before like a council or somebody. He had to go in the city and go before some people to make a proclamation and say out loud and say publicly, I am about to take this woman as my wife. He had to do that. It's in Ruth chapter 4. Go read it. So he had to make a public announcement for this woman. And that was also in the word that God gave me, public announcement on my voice memo in July 4th, 2023, when he gave me the word culminate. So this is my last point. Well, no, it's not, but this is one of my last points. So yesterday, I have a song called Back to Me. And if you don't know, I am a singer-songwriter, R&B singer-songwriter. And I put out a project called Things I Never Said in June of this year. One of the songs on that project is called Back to Me. I wrote that song for my kingdom spouse. But yesterday, I played it and I put it on repeat. And I listen to that song ever so often, but I just love the song. I love the beat, right? In my commercials, any commercials that you all hear on this podcast, that's the beat, the Back to Me beat. That's the instrumental for that song. So I was listening to it, and it reminded me that lately God has been showing me the word back. He's been showing me like variations of the word back. It'll be back to me, back to you, back at one. The song from Brian McKnight, back to back blessings. He's been just reminding me and showing me variations of the word back, right? So I'm listening to the song Back to Me. And I also rewatched a video of Dana Ray. Shout out to you, girl. We in this thing together. And she has a prophetic word speaking about marriage, but I think it's called He's Back or They're Back or something like that. And it immediately, you know, made me want to click on it because of that word back. And it was basically saying your spouse, like, they're coming back to you. They're coming back to you so that you can experience back to back blessings. Y'all know the movie The Notebook. I was watching that movie the other day too. The movie The Notebook, Allie, the girl, she ends up getting dementia at the end of the movie. And Noah, her husband, wrote down, Jesus, he wrote down their story. He wrote their story of how they met, all of the things throughout their, Jesus, I'm gonna watch that movie again. I love that movie. That is one of my favorite movies of all time, The Notebook. But he wrote a story of the story of their love, the story of their life, right? And every day he would read this story to her so that her memory can come back. Jesus, like, he has so much faith that she would come back to him just by reading this story, just by reading this thing to her. It didn't matter what the doctor said. It didn't matter what the nurses said. Mind you, this man checked himself into her nursing home. Ain't nothing wrong with this man. He checked himself into her nursing home just so he can be with her, just so he can read to her the story of how they met, the story of their love, so that it will spark something on the inside of her, so it will trigger something on the inside of her, and she will remember who he is to her. She will remember their love. Literally, at the end of the movie, she asked him, do you think our love can create miracles? He said, I don't know, we'll see. They literally died that night together. And their hands, like, they had locked arms, and the way they locked arms, it created an L shape. L for love. My God. But the whole point of that was Noah, the husband, he believed that she would come back so he believed that. Like, he knew that God was going to create a miracle. Like, he believed in miracles. Your faith is the currency for a miracle. Your faith is a requirement for this miracle to happen. Like, faith is the currency to see the evidence of this miracle.
Oh, okay.
So we got Bible, we got scripture. Luke chapter 15, turn with me to Luke chapter 15, if you will. We're going to start at verse 14. It says, now, if you, this is the parable or the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, because this whole back to me, back to you, this is that, it's just making me think of the prodigal son. So in this parable, there was a prince that was under his father's inheritance or whatever. He was in the kingdom of his father, right? In his father's kingdom, Jesus. And he had servants, he had money, he had privilege, he had all of these things, right? He did not go without anything. So he decided one day, okay, father, I need my inheritance now so I can go out in the world and do what I want to do. Like, I'm tired of being over here. Like, I just want to go do what I want to do, right? So he left his father's house. Now, when he left his father's house, he's in the world trying to figure things out, trying to find who he is outside of being in his father's house. That could preach. Like, he's trying to figure out how he can survive out here in this world without being in his father's kingdom. Like, he's just trying to figure it out here in the world. Jesus, trying to figure it out, trying to do things in his own strength, right? So literally, verse 14, Luke 15, verse 14, it says, after he had spent everything, he spent all the money. Now, why are you out here in this world trying to figure it out and you done spent all the money? What's wrong with you? After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. Ooh, y'all spouses out here trying to date. They trying to date people. They trying to find other people to replace you. And it ain't working. Because it's a famine out there. Oh, okay. It's a famine out there. Ain't nobody got what you got. They ain't got the juice like you. Okay? They ain't got the juice like that. Like, you're the one. Like, they have to go out there and find that revelation. Like, they got to get that. Okay? So, it said it was a famine and he began to be in need. So, he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Why are you eating out of stuff that the pigs is eating out of? Ew. So he's trying to find his own way. He's trying to do things in his own strength, right? So verse 17, this is what got me. When he came to his senses, that could preach. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. This is the other part that preached, and this is for you. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. He wasn't mad. He didn't have unforgiveness in his heart. He didn't have bitterness in his heart because his son decided to leave, because his son was being ungrateful. He didn't have no malice in his heart. He was filled with compassion. He was waiting on his son to come back. He knew his son was going to come back because he knew that what he provided for his son, he was not going to be able to get that in the world. And this is for your prodigal spouse. This is like threefold right here. This part of the word, this is like threefold right here. Your prodigals are out there in the world trying to figure it out, not realizing everything that they need, everything that they're trying to find is in God, is in the love of Jesus Christ. Everything they're trying to do is in this marriage with you. Not realizing everything that they are searching for is in a relationship with God. And because you're the spiritual one, because you're the spiritually inclined one, you're the one that hears from God, you're the one that has a relationship like this with God, they need you. Because you're a representation of having a relationship with God. Like, you've been down that path before. You're already in relationship with God. You got to show them how to do it. That's why these spouses, when they come back, you're going to have to disciple them the right way. It ain't going to be no teaching. Well, you need to read this. You need to read that. No, your relationship, how you receive them when they come back, how you treat them when they come back. That's going to be a clear indication that you walk with God. It's going to be a clear indication of discipleship. Jesus. So we all know the story, or let me stop saying that, because some of y'all don't be reading y'all word, and that's okay, because if you stick around here in this channel on this podcast for a while, you're going to be a Bible scholar. Okay. But Genesis chapter 33 is a story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were sons of Isaac and Rebekah, right? So go ahead and read that on your own time. But for the sake of this video, that's a little summary. So Jacob stole Esau's inheritance. He stole his birthright. He did some deception, some trickery, and stole his brother's inheritance, his birthright, right? So after some time, them two separated. Them two, Jacob went this way, Esau went that way, right? So there came a time where Jacob had to confront Esau. Like, God was bringing them back together, right? So Jacob literally was wrestling with God the night before he saw Esau. Jacob is sitting up here. He's filled with so much anxiety. He's filled with all of this doubt. He's filled with all of this fear. Oh my God, Esau is going to kill me because of what I did. Esau is going to not receive me. Esau is going to this. Esau is going to do that. He's literally wrestling with God with this, right? And so in an effort to smooth things over with Esau, Esau knows that he's coming. So it's like the Bible literally kind of describes it as Jacob was coming this way and Esau was coming this way. And they had to like meet in the middle, right? So Jacob is coming this way, but he's sending his servants ahead of him to try to send some of his cattle and his sheep and all of these gifts to Esau, right? So Esau sees all these people coming and he's like, where's my brother? Like, I don't need none of this. Where's my brother? So as Esau and Jacob are coming together, again, coming together, coming back together, let's read verse 1-4. So chapter 33, verse 1, it said, Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He's already trying to like, he's trying to smooth things over. He's like trying to slick side avoid him, right? So verse 3, he himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother Esau. Verse 4, and this is how God is wanting us to receive these spouses. Verse 4, but Esau ran to Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him and they wept. This is how some of you all's reunion is going to go. You are in a position where you have been suffering. You have been hurting because your spouse left. You have been in a position where you have become bitter. You have become angry. You have become like mad at God because they left, right? But as God has been preparing you for their comeback, he has been working on your heart. He has been telling you, I need you to receive them differently. I don't need you to receive them with no attitude. I don't need you to receive them with no bitterness. I don't need you to bring up the past. Jesus, I need you to act like ain't nothing ever happened. Let me and you deal with that bitterness. Let me and you deal with that unforgiveness. But when they come back, it is going to be a determination of how fast they put a ring on your finger. Your reaction is going to be confirmation that you walk with God for real. How you receive them is going to be an act of love. It's going to be a demonstration of love. They're expecting malice. They're expecting hate. They're expecting you to have an attitude. They are expecting you to be angry, to not forgive them. They're expecting you to reject them. But God is literally in this time, like of him performing this miracle, he's performing a miracle on the inside of you too. For you to be able to receive them, for you to be able to love them, for you to be able to embrace and receive them. That's a miracle too. Because when they left, that hurt. When they did what they did, that hurt. And you had to wrestle with God. You had to wrestle with God about that, right? But as God is bringing them back to you, your reception of them, how you receive them, is going to determine how fast they put that ring on your finger. Okay. This is how God wants you to embrace your spouse. This is how God wants you to welcome them. Jesus, as if it never happened. We'll deal with that later. But right now, the miracle is being performed. Right now, God needs his assignment to be complete and to begin on the earth. God needs something to be fulfilled. Your attitude, your reaction, your love towards this man, or if you're a man watching this, your love towards that woman has to be the focal point. your love, the fruit of the spirit, love has to be operating on the inside of you. You cannot have no unforgiveness. You cannot have no bitterness. We don't have time for that. We've been spinning our wheels in this process with that. They'll come back. They'll do something. They'll come back. It'll leave you hurt and heartbroken. You'll do the same thing to them. It's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But this time when they come, it's going to be the final time. It's going to be the final time. This time is going to be the time, but it's going to be dependent on your reaction. Okay? Oh, Lord, this miracle involves reconciliation. It involves forgiveness and a pardon. You have to pardon them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, for they know not what they did. They didn't know what they did when they left, when they walked out. They didn't know how bad that was going to hurt you. They was just worried about them. They was worried about their own sanity. They were worried about their own emotions. That ain't had nothing to do with you. Forgive them. I had a dream that confirms this part of the word, and I'm not going to go too in depth in it, but I had a dream the other night that involved a kiss and a scent of peonies. I can't really pronounce the word. Y'all know the flower peonies. I don't know, but I looked up the word, like the significance of what the flower peonies represents. And it represents love, honor, happiness, wealth, romance, and beauty. So when I was in the dream and I received a kiss, I smelled peonies. And I don't know why God had, I don't know why I smelled that, but I knew that was the scent. I knew that that was the scent of peonies because my Dove body wash is the scent of peonies. Peony. Y'all, I don't know how to say that word. I'm sorry. But literally, the Dove bottle, it's called Renewing. It's called Renewing. And it has a pink top on it. And it's the peony smell and rose oil. Peony and rose oil, the renewing scent from Dove. I can't make this up. I immediately knew what that smell was because I had been using this body wash for months. So I'm like, okay, what does this mean? So I looked it up and I looked the meaning up and everything like that. So I knew God was like, you know, showing me that this dream is, you know, is real. Mind you, I had this dream a couple days ago. God highlighted these things in the Bible to me over the past 2 days. Oh, okay. So as we come to the end of this word, I know we've been here for an hour, but as we come to the end of this word, I just want you all to know that just because the promise is not in your possession right now does not mean it never will be. You are being prepared for the promise. You are being prepared for the miracle. God has allowed the suffering. He has allowed all of these things to happen just so he can perform the miracle. He waited until the highest point of development, your highest point of development, to perform the miracle. He needed your heart. He needed your mind. He needed everything just so he can perform this miracle. I hope that this episode was encouraging to you all. I really do. Like, this encouraged me. I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but the Holy Spirit just flowed on the inside of me. And look, we're here. Look, I love you guys. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a rating. Make sure you share this episode with somebody who needs it. Save this episode to your playlist. Mark my words. Save this episode. And I will talk to you all in my next episode. Bye.